Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have everybody join us on another one of these Business of Digital podcast episodes. And today is going to be a fun one. We have a special guest for you. But before we get into that, as I always do, because I see that he's muted, I'm going to put Dave on the spot and say, how's it going, Dave?
It is going. They're done building the house.
Hey, that was quick.
Goodness. Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah, there's no construction sound behind you.
Nope, they're done. They're like a month and a half late, but they're done.
Awesome. Well, did it mess up your view at all?
I can't see it.
Okay, good. Well, as I teased, we do have a special guest, and it's special for me today because it's a really good friend of mine. I would like to introduce everybody to, and have everybody say, give a virtual hello to my good friend, Kevin Mullett. Kevin, how's it going, dude?
Good morning to you both. I'm doing well. And you guys?
Hey, we are doing fantastic. And so just to give everybody an idea before I really jump into this, Kevin is with Market Snare. He is the director of visibility and social media. And the reason that I bring all that up is because I just, you know, my relationship with Kevin is mostly photography. And I'm sure that we're going to talk a little bit about photography and things like that. I mean, how can we not? I've flown almost all across the world, at least above the Arctic Circle with this man in search of amazing photo opportunities. And he's done some pretty neat things, you know, as far as finding spots and different things like that. And again, I wanted to bring him in here because besides that and his ability to use tools and things like that, he has, over the years, he's presented on different tools that you can use, that one can use, you know, that you have in the tool bag, so to speak, as marketers. And so I wanted to get Kevin on and I wanted to chat with him a little bit about that side of things. I wanted to chat about different processes and discovery things, and we're going to get into all that. But before we do, just Kevin, welcome. I appreciate you joining us. And you know, is there anything I missed that you'd like to intro about yourself?
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, obviously Matt and I do have a pretty special relationship in terms of the photography and, you know, being speakers at conferences and running into each other. But, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to share this with people and hope that it really helps them. In terms of what we do, I'll keep it simple, is basically we help multi-location brands with search and social, and that's organic listings, paid, business listings, etc. We have our own method that is quite unique, and but it's really for multi-location brands, and we'll just leave it at, if that's something that's important to people or they need that, they can reach out to us. It's pretty simple.
Awesome. Well, again, I do appreciate you joining us. And like I said, one of the sessions, you know, you mentioned that we've gone to conferences all over the states, at least, and you've spoken on different tools. And rather than, you know, we were talking before we started recording, and rather than this being just a, hey, give me a big list of tools that you use, we wanted to take a different approach with this, and I really like it. And so I think the best way to start off with this is, again, you know, think about the kind of people that could be listening. Obviously, we're going to have, you know, mostly maybe beginners. There may be some people that have been doing this for a long time. But you know, just in general, I guess, how do people discover tools? Like, how, you know, what when we're talking about tools and what to use, I mean, there's so many different tools and so many different options. But what would you suggest, or what would you go into when we're going down this path of discovery with tools?
Sure. So, you know, it's funny because it kind of ties into what you said earlier about my proclivity to find photography locations and compositions, which is part and parcel with the fact that I'm an inquisitive kind of guy.
I can attest to that.
I often joke about the fact that I enjoy taking long dark clicks through the internet, and you end up in places you didn't really imagine, but you're kind of like, oh, well, this is interesting stuff. And And the same thing happens with photography. But, you know, I'll give you guys some 100% no holds barred, this is how I do it method. So, for example, some of it is just about being observant, right? So some of the ways that we find photography locations is we're just observant of what people post on Instagram, on, you know, Flickr, on 500px, on Facebook, and, you know, Twitter. Some of it is tagged and you see it. And back in the day when Twitter was huge, and I mean more popular, more used, a lot of times I would just look down to see how they posted, right? Or when somebody would comment, I read between the lines and pick out a tool that is mentioned, and then I immediately go look at that tool. And so that seems so simple, but so many people don't do it. And my thought is I may need this in the future, so I'm going to catalog it, not waiting for the other methods, which is now I need something, and so I'm going to go research it.
Well, I like what you said there, and sorry to interrupt, but like how you said that you catalog it, because it got me thinking about, you know, the fact that you mentioned this with photography, but I think about this with, you know, you could be, you know, you found this reading a photography website or something, but you could be reading a story on Search Engine Journal or wherever, you know, pick a website that we read in the industry, and they could be mentioning something like this, and they mention a tool, or they can be talking about just this very thing just related to search engine marketing. But I like how you said, like, you catalog it. And so rather than just, you know, reading the article and seeing, oh, that there's a tool, and maybe I should give it a chance and maybe bookmarking it or, you know, forgetting about it, you actually have a process where you catalog this, and then you go and you give them a time. At least that's what I was gathering from that, and I think that's brilliant.
Absolutely. Because now, in my case, let's narrow that down for folks. You could be just cataloging things that are very specific to what you need. I ended up trying to catalog the entire daggum internet. I mean, that's where it ends up going.
But I can see that with you.
Yeah, because I'm obsessive compulsive about things like that. But let me bring it down closer then. You could use tools like Product Hunt, Beta List, something that's called MOM, which is the Museum of Modern Betas. Now those are, and Startup List. And those are, Beta List, MOM, and Startup List, those are burgeoning things. Those are not necessarily fully fledged, you know, flushed out tool sets. But Product Hunt, Alternative To, heck, I used to even watch TechCrunch's, what was that, their big thing every year. And I remember when Dropbox came out, and I immediately joined the beta for that. That's being proactive in looking for something.
Well, now you're going to have me wondering, because it's at the tip of my tongue, their thing that they did too. Anyway.
TechCrunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Crunch, the Crunch. I can't remember what it's called, which is really horrible. I should have put that down.
I think it's the Crunchies.
What was it?
The Crunchies.
Crunchies, I think. I think that, yeah. I wanted to say that, but I can't remember it. But, you know, the point is that that's one, you know, those are some tools to find tools, to find services or solutions. You could also use things like Captera or G2 Crowd or GetApp. Those are all just methods for discovery of tool sets. Now, I really like Alternative To. And most people have never heard of Alternative To, which, by the way, is alternative.to, I think. And what that does is you go in and you say, I'm looking for something that's like Photoshop, but I can't afford Photoshop, right? Hmm. And it'll then tell you, oh, well, you could use paint.net, you could use GIMP, you could use, you know, whatever different tools that you have going on that you need. Or of course you could just use Google, but the problem when you start doing simple queries is obviously in that case, people are marketing to you instead of cataloging what is available for you to then review.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, oh, Dave, were you going to?
I was just going to say, I love Alternative too. It's a great, it's a great tool. Whenever I found a tool and it either is too expensive or it doesn't fit my use case exactly, or it doesn't tie in with, I don't know, whatever it is I need, but it's similar, I found that to be a great option for finding different things.
Right. And, you know, alternatively to alternative two.
No pun intended.
Allow myself to introduce my myself. Anyway, what you can do is
we're way too alike, Kevin.
You know what you can do is you can go out and ask. You can look at Reddit. You can look at Facebook groups of professionals. You can look at LinkedIn groups of professionals. A lot of that gets spammy, but yeah, you could. You could go to Quora. You could look there. You could use Google operators. I'm a huge fan of Google operators, and you could simply put in, use a Google operator to find all in title and then just put business listings, right? And limit down your query to just things that have that in the title. So there's things like that. But I like one of the things you mentioned, Dave, is, you know, making sure that it actually gets to a solution. You go into alternative two because you know what you want. Now you're just not sure what things should be in consideration. So like, for example, I joke, we used to have an issue dealing with multi-location where we would get tons of crappy logos from clients, right? Clients aren't designers. The designers that they had do their logo probably weren't even.
You mean Comic Sans logo?
Oh yeah. but worse was the fact that even if they had their logo, they would give it to us in the smallest possible JPEG that is conceivable on the planet. And
that's,
you know,
so frustrating.
Now, yeah, and so. So now I have a problem. I know that I have a problem, which is I can't use this crappy logo, right? It's not going to work. So how do I solve that problem? And so you start and you go out and you look for something that will actually temporarily and quickly solve that, because we're not getting remunerated by them to fix their logos or make them a new one. So along comes something like Vector Magic, which is just a website that does its best attempt to take a crappy logo and convert it into a vector so that you can scale it and make it work. It's not perfect, but they're not paying us for perfect either. We're trying to solve a problem, right? And so again, just kind of going back to what you said, Dave, is you know what your problem is, then go look for the solution.
Well, this is also almost a perfect segue into like the next part of this that I wanted us to get into, Kevin, is what is the process you follow or slash use to test? And I think this is exactly, you know, what you just started to answer with, you know, with what you're doing, like with these logos, for example. But yeah, if there is any kind of process that you follow or that you use to test out different tools, now would be a great time to, I think, segue into that.
Hold on, I'm saving Vector Magic because that sounds awesome.
It does.
I just had to go look it up. I'm like, save.
And yep.
Dave's like, all right, already good that we had Kevin up. No.
Like if someone was to look at my bookmarks, they'd be like, what in the world? So my bookmarks in Chrome, for better or worse, I use Chrome, is a mishmash of stuff. So my very first section I have is marketing articles. Anytime I tweet out something or read something or find something, like I was looking at Google Analytics 4 this morning, I already saved 3 or 4 articles about how to do things in Google Analytics 4 to my analytics folder.
At least
I don't need
some
it right
sort of.
Now, but that's my organization. I have one for automation, chatbots, CRO, CRM, Excel, Facebook ads, Google updates, Instagram, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you've
blah.
Already been way more organized than I ever have been. I mean, just the spreadsheet alone or the... I guess I should say the Google Sheet alone that you use for this podcast, you know.
But it gets better. I have one called Coding. Every CMS I work on, so Grav, Python, Squarespace, Wix, Etsy, WordPress, of course, APIs, Drupal, Episerver. I have folders for all of these. Anytime I see an article around SEO or best practices, I save it for that exact reason that Kevin was talking about. I don't know when I'm going to need it.
Yep. And I do something very similar to that, Dave, except for I break mine down just a slight bit different in that I differentiate between an article about something, an article about something, and then a tool.
I'm also lazy. That's my problem.
Well, it becomes very time consuming to maintain that, especially when, you know, once I kind of started to get known as a tools guy, well, then there's weight on my shoulder to branch outside of things that I personally, which getting back to Matt's question, you know, things that I personally interact with or need, right? Then it became about searching the internet and having answers for people, because one of the things, oddly enough, that led me to this in the very first place is I didn't like having a client come in and sit across the table from me and ask me, hey, what do you think about XYZ? And I'm dumbfounded because I didn't know what XYZ was, right?
Yeah.
So part of this venture became about being preemptive. And then the other thing is because I like helping people solve problems, like legitimately, I like being the source of that, because I believe if you solve people's problems, you answer people's questions, you evoke emotion carefully, and you entertain them in the process, that keeps you top of mind. That is what people want. And that's a philosophy that I use in our marketing as well. But getting back to that, is we start with, as far as me testing, is I start by trying to see if it's a trial, if it's a demo, if it's limited functionality, etc. And quite frankly, I shocked one of my fellow speakers at one time, and he says, well, how do you test all these tools? And I say, I don't, like, I can't. There's no way that I could test every one of these tools, not to mention that the nuance of how a tool works or works for your company is going to be specific to your need and how you need it, right? And what you're trying to accomplish. So what I do on some of the tools is I just do the due diligence of looking at, is it free? Does it cost? Is it trial? What do they claim that it will do? What do I see in the screen grabs as to their output or their input methodology? And then the other thing is like with time trials, I tend to avoid time trials. So if you're a beta company and you're listening, I really don't like time trials. And the reason is because if you're a busy professional, the time trial always seems to run out before I can really actually get it set up and test it correctly, right? I like limited functionality because limited functionality, or maybe I should say limited output. So you could get maybe full functionality, but a limited or with a watermark or something like that, because now I can really evaluate whether or not this is actually going to give us what we need, right? If it is a call-in demo, dead stop, unless I absolutely need that tool, that's it, I'm done, right? Now, there are certainly tools that warrant that because they're so complicated and or they require so much setup. That's the only way you could really do it. But for me, that's a pretty hard stop.
Well, that was a perfect. You basically went into the final segue of what I wanted to talk about, which was the nuance between what tools give us and what we actually need. So I think you touched on that. But I don't know if there was anything else that Dave wanted to jump in on that specific area, though.
I know what I was going to say. I was like, I was having a brain fart. The one workaround for the time trials is multiple computers. Just going to say. That's the only.
I may or may not have availed myself of that in the past, but
otherwise, it's not the best tool to use.
The only thing,
for the same reason, it's you use it once and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Let me go look at these other things. And you come back a week later. Sorry, your 7 days is up. Oh, yeah. Well, then I'm never using you again.
We tried at one time, we were trying to figure out an internal tool for, just project management. And I had literally 28 tools that I was testing at one time. And the ones that had time trials, they just got excluded because I ran out of time. I was doing normal workload. I think we had 32 web projects on the docket at that in that particular month. And I just ran out of time. I couldn't do it. So
I'm just curious. Have you ever reached out to any of these companies that have these time trials where you've said, hey, look, there's a good opportunity for us to be able to use this, but you know, we just need a little bit more time. Cause I do recall several times in the past of doing that. And most of the time they've extended that, but I don't know if that becomes too cumbersome or
it becomes too cumbersome really. Gotcha. When you're doing it in bulk, it's not. I've had some really great relationships, which is going to lead us into this last point. I've had some really great conversations, particularly with Beta, because I kind of got known as a tools guy. I started having people reach out to me and say, well, what would you do here? Or well, could you test this for me? Or I'm testing a friend's SEO tool right now. They want feedback because they know that I've touched a lot of different tools in the past. Getting to your point, Matt, is it just becomes, are you giving a person one more reason to not want to select your tool?
Gotcha. Yeah. Just it's that added step. Yeah.
You know, here's the thing is what tool SaaS-based products and tool companies or betas should not be hearing from me is that's not an option. It's just, you know, you need to think about the people who are selecting you and what are the things that they really care about. And one of the things that they really care about is not being over pressured to make a snap decision. They really want it. They need to make a good decision based off of their workflow, based off of their budget, based off of the buy-in that they're going to get or not get from others, based on the pain point that they're trying to solve. And also what's the goal? What is the outcome? What do you need it to do? And just quite frankly, when you're doing regular work for some of these tools, you cannot do that in a month. You just can't. So anyway, that's where we're going with that. But to get to the other point, which is what you need versus what they give us is an interesting one. So for example, for those of you that are familiar with Facebook Insights, okay, so you go into your Google Business Manager, you go in or you're on your page and you go into Insights. And down at the bottom, there's pages to watch, which is a great place to look at what competitors are doing, right?
Right.
But what they show you in that is engagement this week. But I don't want to know that my competitor, who has a million followers or like page likes, and got 83,000 engagements over the past week, when we have 150 and got 30, because you're not, what I want to know is I want to know the percentage of, right? Because just because the client that I'm working with got started later than the other one and hasn't worked their way up to a million, what you want to look at is the efficacy of what you're doing, the value of what you're doing, right? And so if you're going to use vanity metrics at all, you want to use those in a way that shows whether you're going in the right direction and compares that. So, for example, for those that don't do the quick math, that's the difference between having a page that's getting somewhere around 15% engagement and a page that has, you know, a million, but is only getting around 10 to 9% engagement.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Another example could be, so I was talking to Flick Tech, which is an Instagram hashtag tool. Really good tool. I like it. I like what they have. But I got them on the horn. So this kind of goes back to talking about whether or not you ever reach out to these people. I reached out to them and I said, hey, listen, you're giving me on these hashtags, you're telling me whether or not I ranked for a hashtag or not. Okay, that's useful. But here's what I really want to know. I want to know on a given post what percentage of people that were not following us came via hashtags. So that when, which you can get by manually looking at your insights for Google, and now that they have it in the creative, which is a horrible place to put it, but now that they have it under the creative, oh, the name escapes me right now, the what the heck is that? Anyway, I'll remember it here in a second. But you can get that by right clicking on the post and looking at, here was my reach, here's the percentage of people that saw my post that were not following me, here's how many came via hashtags. But what I want to know is if I'm testing, say, 10 different hashtags, I want to know what percentage we reached via hashtags so I can turn on and off hashtags and see if that's, all things being equal, same time of day, same type of post, etc., whether that hashtag is contributing, not simply whether or not we ranked for it, because just ranking for a hashtag is like just ranking for a keyword term. If it's not the right term, or in a hashtag sense, it's not in the right time, then it doesn't matter. A Facebook Ads Manager, it cracks me up that most people don't even know that Business Manager exists, or that within Ads Manager that they can customize the columns so that they see, you know, that they can change the columns for their ads so that they can see more pertinent information, like, I don't know, like return on ad spend.
Yeah.
Or you know, or they can change the, what is that, breakdown options so that they can actually see specifically whether they're coming in via Android, iOS, what percentage, and other nuances like that.
What were you going to say, Dave?
How long have we all been on Twitter? I've been a user since 2007. How many years have we all asked to be able to edit tweets?
Oh, yeah.
But the feature that everyone asks for, every time they come out with a new feature, what happens? Everyone's like, that's awesome. Can I edit
a tweet?
They
should have, when they were, when Congress was grilling Jack the other day, they should have just asked him for it.
On well, record, will you say that you're going to let us edit tweets?
I joke all the time that if Jack would have just called me, I could have helped save Twitter's prominence and social. I'm being facetious, of course, but how many of us really look at them and say, why did you just give me a feature that either harms me, and I'm talking about all tools at this time, why did you just change this that actually harms me or at least is less important than what I want? So Agora Pulse, whom I love, I absolutely love Agora Pulse. It is the right tool for many people. It's not right for everybody, but it certainly is right there with the quality social posting tools. I use it daily along with other tools. But, and by the way, Emmerich is a great guy. They changed something that ended up costing me a minute or two for every post that we did. And I called them on it. I basically called them up and said, look, it used to be before you added the ability to add multiple pictures to an Instagram post, it used to be that I composed my post and I turned on Facebook and IG. I composed it. Then I edited IG. That's all you had to do is you had to go into the edit mode for IG alone, and then I could remove the other pictures, and I could add the hashtags and customize the language to be more for IG. But then it turned out that the when they added the multi-picture posts, now I actually have to do Facebook, then I have to go and duplicate the post, and then add all of that in, which adds, with the way the interface is, it adds about a minute or two per post that I have to do. Well,
and depending on how many you do per day, that could add up.
Yeah, I mean, if it, you know, it's not uncommon for me to do 6 to 10 posts a day.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a delay.
That's no bueno. I'd rather not have that encumbrance in my way. Other thing that really cracks me up is they pop a modal, and I've talked to them about this, which is when you're doing your Instagram posts, if it's in the little modal box there, I can't see all of the posts and the hashtags in one go. I have these huge monitors and I have to sit there scrolling up and down so I can see all of the, you know, all of the posts.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Well, Kevin, I do appreciate you taking the time and chatting about this with us. We're just about where we need to wrap up. I don't know if you have any final questions or thoughts, Dave.
I think if you were to give one tip on anything along the budget process, you know, need versus what they give you, what is that one tip that maybe we didn't talk about?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. Well, you know, there's two things that I think
only be one.
There's never just one.
I know.
There's never just one.
He's like, well, it depends. I mean, I think the answer is it depends, Dave. There you go. There's your answer.
No, the real thing is that I think that the onus is on users initially, and that is to very quickly define what is going to be valuable to you or your organization, whether that's a time savings, whether that's an additional capacity, whether that's an additional feature that will help reporting so that you can get more budget, or that you can make better use of your budget. Figure out the why. Why do you need this tool before you go down the road of figuring out that you need a tool? And past that, I just say, and this goes along with what your episode 177 was, which was the dog face 420 post with the ocean spray. You have to have in that case, they had to have a tool to listen, right? And to get to that point, once they listened, then they could use what I refer to as a help philosophy, which is humanize your message, encourage conversation, listen first, promote less. And, you know, Cranberry, the Ocean Spray people listened. That gave them the opportunity to chime in a non, like, super creepy promotional way. And they won as a result of it. The other thing I'd mention is the content opportunity report, which we talked about. That was just a roll your own solution to a problem, which is, how do you get, which goes back to your episode 174 about reusing content. When you plan your content out, and I'm not just talking about a calendar, when you actually plan out the content, it gives you the opportunity to figure out how you are going to reuse that and or use that in multiple places. So if people want to go to marketsnare.com/COR, you can,
and just so everybody knows, we'll put the link on the website write up as well.
Yeah, you can download. We're only giving it away because it's something that it's a tool that we needed internally to solve a problem, which is getting that content from clients, discussing it with them, and maximizing what we produce. So we hope it'll help people out.
Very cool. Very awesome. Well, Kevin, once again, I do appreciate you joining us. This has been fascinating to listen to, and I hope that those listeners out there that are jumping on are getting something from this as well. So I do appreciate you taking the time, and that was a good one. So for Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics and Kevin Mullett with Market Snare, I'm Matt Silta with Avalanche Media, and I just give you the final reminder that we are on iTunes. Please make sure to go and give us a 5-star rating, and it helps us continue to grow and bring more of these episodes to you. So once again, thanks, fellas, and appreciate the chat, and we'll see everybody again one day. Bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks. Thank you.